Michelle Andringa is the director of Head Start in Cass and Beltrami counties with programs from Kellaire to Pillager and beyond. When the governor closed schools in March, Head Start faced the same challenges of about 8 days of planning to change a program of classrooms and home visits from in-person to distance learning. Now, starting on Monday, July 13th, the program will welcome kids back again and offer new ways to give children and families a head start for life. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, Brett.
How are you today? How is your COVID experience going?
You know, this has just been quite the ride. And, we're always up for a challenge and making sure that we're serving our families the best we can. So, and every day is a new adventure.
So in my, I should, full disclosure, you're my wife's boss, so I have to be careful what I say. In my experience of learning what Head Start does, it is something much more than I ever would have imagined, even though it's been around for 55 years. Can you give us kind of an overview of what the organization Head Start does and what happens in Cass and Beltrami counties specifically for this area?
I would love to share. Head Start has been around, as you said, for 55 plus years, and we really focus on a two-generation model, which is much different than any other program in anywhere. And so we really work with the family and the child to prepare them for kindergarten and for the family's success to reach their personal goals that they would like to reach, if it's a GED or getting housing or finding a new job or moving forward with their education, along with helping that child, like I said, be ready for kindergarten.
So when you found out in March that classes were going to change or with the whole system was going to change, what was your first reaction?
Well, it was like, oh my gosh, how are we going to pull this off? We need to serve our families. We can't just leave them hanging. And I have such an amazing team of managers and teachers at Head Start that we pulled together. And as you said, in 8 days, we had a full virtual distant learning program set up and ready to go. And our teachers trained and figured out how we were going to, work with the families and the child and these preschoolers and toddlers virtually and keep them involved and engaged until this whole COVID thing is over. And we've been doing a really great job of that. We have amazing teachers.
So how have you done that? Because when my girls were little, I didn't succeed, but I tried to keep them off devices. How do you do that when
right.
There's no person?
It is really hard, but technology is amazing. I mean, look, I'm talking to you at home on the radio.
And I'm at home too, so that's even better.
Yeah, it is. What Zoom and Facebook and just being able to connect, seeing each other has helped. And then we would send home activities for the parents and the child to work on together and then follow up with the virtual visits if the families have that capability. And that was a challenge we found, that a lot of families, we can use our phones for Zooming and the virtual visits, but a lot of our families only have so many minutes a month, and that was sucking up all their data and their minutes, and they're not able to afford, phone cards to add more minutes. And so it was really challenging. If they didn't have a phone, do they have working computers? Do they have reliable internet? And so those were some of the challenges that I know the school districts were worried about and working with also. But we have a great community, and a couple of the internet services around, we're giving discounts and free services. And so we're hooking up our families the best we could to the resources that were out there so that we could continue the distant learning and make it as meaningful as possible.
So I know that families in your program are not the typical suburban family that I grew up in, and those kind of resources must be very important. In the school district, I noticed at the end of the year, they did something different in the way they evaluated people, and I'm sure that you must have the same situation where you try to keep track of the progress of your people in your program. How has that changed during this pandemic time?
You know, that has been a challenge for our staff, too. As you know, Head Start, all of the content areas of our Head Start program are evidence-based, and we have to collect data, you know, the beginning baseline data, and then show the growth throughout the year in many different ways. And we do that with school readiness. We do that with mental health and dental and physicals and family goals and assessments. And, you know, families are pretty resilient, and so are our staff. And so we have figured out ways to collect some of that data. It's not as evidence or not as thorough as we would like, but we did find some that we are able to collect some data.
And I assume, you know, this is so amazing to me, this Head Start program, and any early childhood program is so amazing to me, because I am one of those people who didn't understand what people who care for children do. Until I had my own kids, I didn't have much of an idea. But then even with my own kids, I was a typical parent who dropped them off at the child care place and a couple times a week, and didn't really think of any that would be curriculum based or anything like that. But you really have a curriculum for even the youngest children out there, right?
We do. We serve prenatal, so pregnant moms, all the way through age 5, and we have curriculum for all the ages and stages, for center based, which is in the classroom, and then we also have home-based visits that we have a curriculum for, Healthy Babies, Partners for Healthy Babies, and then we also have a curriculum for pregnant moms that we help walk them through their pregnancy, so we have wonderfully healthy babies when they arrive. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's Head Start is the best kept secret out there. It's just an amazing, amazing program that really supports families to move forward. And our target audience, as you said, are families who live in poverty, foster children, homeless families, and any other family that has a need, or if their child has a specific disability, we are here to help and serve and connect to resources and meet the families where they're at and help them move forward. And I think that's the biggest goal, is, you know, is just making sure families know that we care and we're here for them, and we will help them move forward in any which way that we possibly can.
So that, I know from my own experience working in a treatment center for children, it's got to be exhausting work. How has this pandemic affected the energy and attitude of the people working?
It's been really hard for my staff, because our staff have drank the Head Start Kool-Aid. We're here to help the families, and not being able to see them face-to-face and have the children in the classrooms and visit the families in the home has been the hardest, because those of us in service-oriented jobs that we are in, you know, that's why we're in them. And if we can't see them and talk to them and give them the support they need, that's the biggest hurdle, I think, that we have had. The light that we see is that, you know, this COVID thing can't last forever. so we're hoping that, you know, when we get back on track and we are able to see, we'll be able to get, it's going to be a new normal, but it's going to be, I think it's going to be better. My staff have learned the importance of the relationship with the parent. And I think that that's the most important piece, because you can't virtually do a class or education with a toddler, you know, virtually. You do it with the parent. And I think that has been, if there's a light in any of this, we've really focused on that relationship with the parent and how important that the parent is the child's first and foremost teacher and the most important piece in their child's life.
And now you're going to turn it back around again. What are you looking forward to coming up next Monday, and how is it going to be different?
Oh, I'm so looking forward to having those kiddos back into the centers. It has just been eerily quiet around,
yeah.
around the center. It's going to be different. We're going to have lots of screening processes because of COVID. We want to make sure our children are safe and our staff are being protected. And so there's going to be a whole screening process when they come into the center, and the parents and everybody will have their, will follow the CDC guidelines for tamping and watching for symptoms of the COVID. We've got all kinds of disinfecting and cleaning procedures. And I mean, just everything. We have been studying CDC, MDH, St. John, no, what is it? St. Johns Hopkins. And just following all those protocols and writing a pandemic plan. And yeah, we will be ready and we will be safe and our families will be comfortable coming in because they know that we're looking out in the best interest of everyone. So, but it's going to be challenging too.
Yeah. And you said that, of course, you work with the parents, but the parents aren't coming in. How do you explain that to these little kids you got coming in?
Right. And so we will, you know, have a process where our they will be doing first home visits with their kids, not first home visits, but first meetings. The teachers will be in their gowns or their PPEs when face masks. And so the children get to see the child, their teacher, you know, dressed up with a face mask because that teachers will be wearing face masks during the classroom. And then we will have the protocol where the family will call us when they get to the center and the teacher will go out to the car and do a in-person greeting and, you know, at social distancing and then see if we can work with the child and have them sign in and walk them into the building. And there will be challenges because these are little, very little ones. So it's going to be interesting, but I think we'll make it work because child cares have been open throughout all of this. So we'll take our cues from them.
It sounds like there'll be a lot of energy that comes back into your program, and that'll be exciting for you and your staff. Has anybody had vacation during this time?
Well, no.
Yeah.
So we have, you know, the Office of Head Start is amazing, and we're federally funded, and we get about $4.4 million between federal and state funding, and we have 80 employees. And during all of this, even though our teachers weren't on site and teaching and may not have been working a full 40 hours, the Office of Head Start said, please pay your staff because we want, once this COVID thing goes away, we want to hit the ground running and we want to have your staff on board. So we have had approval to continue paying all of our staff through September 30th, even if this COVID thing is cutting back their hours. So we have been so supportive. The Office of Head Start has been so supportive of making sure we're maintaining our staffing because we have quality teachers and we would hate to lose them.
That's amazing.
Because of COVID.
Yeah, that's really amazing. That's not that way for everybody. So
no, it is.
When you, I just want to ask, if you don't mind, ask kind of a personal question. I would assume that you were working full-time as you were always before, mm-hmm. and you added probably mm-hmm. another full-time job on top of this. How are you holding out?
You know, God is good, and we have such amazing staff. Like I said, it doesn't feel like one person is shouldering anything. We have, you know, teamwork is awesome, and that's really our motto at Head Start too, is and the philosophy we work with. Everyone has their gifts and their talents, and we make sure that when a crisis comes up, we make sure we find the people with the gifts and talents that can best lead us and walk us through any situation that we have to figure out. And we've got, like I keep saying it, but we've got amazing teachers and amazing staff, and we would love to take on more if we could. So.
That's great. Well, really wish you the best as you reopen and have to deal with all these new changes. And like so many other people, I hope there'll be a vaccine sooner rather than later. Thanks so much for talking with me today.
I do. Thank you so much for the opportunity for letting me share about our awesome program that we have.
You're welcome.
Happy
Take care.
4th of July.
Yep, you too. Bye-bye.
You too.
That's Michelle Andringa. She is the director of Head Start and in the Cass County and Beltrami County area. They are opening up their program on July 13th again to bring kids back into the program and do their home visits that they do, but in a different way than they have, as all organizations that are out there have been forced to make changes, pretty dramatic changes in some ways, as we all try to get through this time together, and we're doing the best we can.